Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, today with my co-host, Susan Franson. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Ursula.
Susan, let's start out with the weather.
Today is mostly sunny with a high of 25 degrees. It's not a windy day, but according to the weather.gov, a series of fast-moving weather systems will bring strong winds and light precipitation to Iowa this week. The next system is expected to drop through the area Thursday with strong winds of 30 to 40 miles per hour with gusts to 55 or higher. That's high wind.
Yeah.
In early Thursday evening, light snow will again be possible across mainly the north half of Iowa as well. So on Thursday, it's back to cold, wind, and snow. Tonight will also be the first full moon of the year.
The first, and also the smallest, Susan. The moon will appear roughly 4% smaller than average tonight because just before rising, it will have reached its greatest distance from the Earth. This moon is also known by some Indigenous Americans as the Wolf Moon. Amid the zero cold and the deep snows of midwinter, the wolf packs howled hungrily outside the villages.
On Monday, Lee Searles introduced us to the phenology calendar, which marks the days of the year according to the events of the natural world for us, the seasons. He developed one for the Raccoon River watershed area, but I think much of it can apply to most of central Iowa. So, according to the phenology calendar, chickadees will begin mating today.
Actually, Susan, I noticed a couple of chickadees were hopping around very close to the kitchen window yesterday, and they looked very busy and intense. Maybe that's why. Maybe they were getting ready. They are the cute little fat birds with black caps and bibs.
Chickadees are not shy around humans and will come real close, so they even sometimes eat from our hands.
Their calls are such a common sound around here, and it's such a natural sound. It's probably one of the first memories I have from my childhood, and it's really easy to take them for granted. It's just part of how Central Iowa sounds.
Yep. Why don't we listen to what they sound like? I got a little clip from my Peterson Field Guides. Yep. There they go. Chickadee-dee-dee. Chickadees are named after one of their calls, chickadee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and interestingly, the number of D's the bird includes can be used by them to warn each other about different levels of threat from nearby predators like hawks and owls.
This is Local Talk, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa, including the chickadees, whom you just heard. Big day for the chickadees, and they're beginning their mating calls today, and we wish them all the best of luck. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with co-host Susan Franson. And also with us this morning, we're fortunate to have Lynn Carey, director of the Ames Public Library, here with us. Welcome, Lynn.
And it's so nice to be back in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we found Lynn standing out in the street directing the building of her new building.
You no. Probably do see me driving by about 20 times a day to check the progress.
No, actually, we asked Lynn to come in to give us an update on how the building's coming across the street.
Sure. It's really exciting to be able to talk about this project. And we are in an enviable position of being on time and under budget.
Awesome.
Anybody who goes by can see that it's now looking like a library. We, of course, are talking about the library at the original location at 515 Douglas. Started out many, many years ago. In fact, we'll be celebrating our 110th anniversary at this site. this year. And so we start out with a building in 1904, an addition in 1907, another addition in 1940, another one in 1983, and now we are having this wonderful renovation and expansion project that we are on schedule to reopen at that site in the fall. So just not that many months away. The chickadees are letting us know that spring is coming, then summer, then fall.
So it sounds like you're happy with the progress of the building.
We are thrilled. We are really good at planning. Librarians are, as you can imagine, we're pretty well organized and we do a lot of research, and so we're used to seeing things on paper and thinking theoretically, but to see something in bricks and mortar, it's just tremendously exciting to see it going up. We're busy in the background planning how we will provide service from this building. It will be quite different. It's 60% larger than we had in the past, and we are going to try to do the same level of service that the Ames community has come to expect from us with the same amount of staff in this much larger building. So we're in the background involved in lots of committee work, trying to plan efficiencies and use technology in ways that free the staff up to do things that machines can't do, so that when we open the doors in the fall, we're very ready to provide just excellent service and programs that the community has expected from us for years.
What does the extra space actually mean? What gets added?
A lot of it is civic space. One of the roles of public libraries in communities today is to be sort of the community center. We're very excited about this little cultural corridor that we're creating here along Douglas Avenue with KHOI, the Octagon, the Ames Historical Society, the library, and we will be providing meeting room space. That's one of the things that we heard loud and clear from the community, is that they love the meeting rooms there. We see literally hundreds of groups every year coming to meet at the library. So we'll have additional meeting rooms. We'll have different sizes of meeting rooms. We'll have a larger, the Farwell T. Brown Auditorium will be larger than it has been in the past. And we'll have study rooms for small groups and tutoring opportunities. And then our public spaces will be larger too. Youth services will be more than twice as large, just the physical space of it, which allows for more interactive play, more materials, again, the study rooms, a separate teen space. Upstairs in the new library, we'll have all of our adult services, again, just more gathering spots, room for materials, different types of furniture for different types of use, just a lot more of what people expect from the library.
Will it also mean more books?
It will, not a lot more books. One of the goals of a public library is to provide what people are interested in now. It's not to be an archive. And we're fortunate enough to be in a university community where we do have Iowa State Library, the Parks Library. And we have a wonderful service called Interlibrary Loan. So if somebody wants something that we don't have, we can either purchase it or we can borrow it from another library. So the idea of having a warehouse of books is not what we're about. But we will certainly have more materials. We have an opening day collection budget, so we will be purchasing a lot of new things and highlighting those when we have our grand opening. So yes, certainly books are a big part of what the library is about, along with all of the other programs and services that we offer.
So it sounds like a lot of the changes are about community use of the space.
Yes, we take our role as a community center very seriously. And so that civic space idea is in the forefront of our planning. In fact, our planning foundational principle is FUN. It stands for flexible, untethered, and nimble. And as we go through our planning process, we have about 10 teams, and we're just starting up 17 committees looking at all different aspects of library service, from really large concepts like communications. How will we communicate internally? How will we communicate externally? How will people get a hold of us? And big things like that, to very fine details like what kind of vending machines will we have and what will be in them and what will we do with the proceeds. So wide range of planning activities, all focused on how to provide the best service for the Ames community and making sure that the decisions that we make and the materials that we get, the equipment, furnishings, are all adhering to that fun principle, that they're flexible, untethered, nimble, easy to change as people's needs change and as new technologies become available.
Is there still going to be room for Literary Grounds bookstore?
Yes. In fact, it will be much more prominent than it was in the past. I think people were delighted who found Literary Grounds in the former library building. And we've used our temporary space as kind of a lab, so to speak, as far as we can. And Literary Grounds is one of those arenas where we've been able to experiment a little bit.
Tell us what Literary Grounds is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Literary Grounds is a used bookstore coffee service that is in the library, and it's run by the sales committee of the Ames Public Library Friends Foundation. So it provides gently used materials that have been donated or withdrawn from the library, and we provide coffee and tea throughout the year and lemonade in the summer, and it's just a comfortable area to sit or gather and meet your friends, have a cup of tea and talk, or to come and study. In the renewed library, it will be right inside the entrance, so you'll come in a vestibule and enter the library proper. It'll be off to the right, and it will be where the old meets the new. So there will be a fairly dramatic two-story window as you're walking into the building, and the exterior, the southern exposure of the 1904-1940 building will be visible. Literary Grounds will be right through the door there. Our architects and designers have done a great job of melding the old with the new, so they've brought in some design elements that I really appreciate. And one of those is they've brought back an awning that was over the doorway, that was an exterior doorway, sometime in the 40s. And they're bringing that back, and that will hold the sign to Literary Grounds. So outside of the Literary Grounds proper will be an area where people can sit and enjoy the sun coming in through the two-story windows, and then there will be a space for used books, a community bulletin board, and some vending machines so people can grab a snack, study there, meet friends. It'll be very, very nice.
Sounds beautiful.
One of the things I like about the way Literary Grounds is now, out in your temporary space, is that you have periodicals there also. And I don't suppose you are going to combine that now.
We won't be able to in the same way. What Susan is referring to is that our circulating periodical collection is located immediately adjacent to Literary Grounds. In the renewed library, it will be upstairs in the adult services area, but right off of Literary Grounds is our grand staircase and the elevator that will access the second floor. And then as you come into the second floor, the periodical section will be right there. It will have comfortable seating and tables and a lounge area next to it. In Ames Public Library, people are welcome to bring drinks and snacks or pick something up at Literary Grounds and use them responsibly throughout the library. So people can still grab a cup of coffee in Literary Grounds and go upstairs and look at magazines. So it won't be exactly the same, but similar kind of feel.
Lynn, what's your favorite part of the new building?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I think it's not a bricks and mortar. It's the that merging of the old and the new, the acknowledgement of the legacy of the buildings that are there. But when I think about the library, I don't think building. I think more about experiences. And I remember saying goodbye to the old building, going into the Farwell T. Brown Auditorium for the last time, and just looking at the walls and thinking, and I'm getting a little emotional here, thinking about all of the things that happened in that room, all of the delighted peals of laughter during children's programs, all of the profound thoughts that were shared during adult programs, and friendships that were made, and just the stimulation and the sharing of community. And that's my favorite part of the library.
So it sounds like your favorite part about the new building is what's going to be happening then.
Yes, absolutely.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. Lynn, are there any updates about what's happening right now that we should know about?
Sure. One of the things that we're pretty proud of is that we've been able to maintain a great library for the community, even under dire conditions some days.
Which is located?
At 620 Lincoln Way in the Lincoln Center. So it's between Hobby Lobby and Hy-Vee on Lincoln Way. And we have not a full complement of programs that we had before, but we are doing our best to continue a lot of programming. We have a lot of children's programming going on, and we still have some programming for adults too. So we have an independent reading program that's going on called Cozy Up to a Good Book, which is I think a good thing to do these chilly days. We still have our conversations in English for new English speakers. We have a writing group, a crochet and knitting group. We have very popular tech talks. People are bringing in the devices that they've gotten for winter holidays and learning how to use them. This Friday night at the library, we're turning into a winter wonderland and having a Yule ball for teenagers. We have book groups meeting, and as I said, a full complement of programs for the younger set. So lots going on at the library. You can access our website at www.amespubliclibrary.org for all the things that are happening there.
Okay, great. Thank you. And once again, when do you anticipate the opening of your new building?
This coming fall.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks,
Lynn.
So much.
I see a crane operator is signaling that they need you to come out and give directions.
Good thing I brought my hard hat.
Bye-bye, Lynn. Thank you for
thank
coming.
You.
Thank you so much.
To go to feel safe and warm again, you left without looking back. Now you are lost and lonely without a friend but me. Looking back now you are lost and lonely without a friend but me. You left without looking back. Now you are lost and lonely without a friend but me.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with Ursula Rudenberg. We were just speaking with Lynn Carey, director of the Ames Public Library, getting an update on the progress across the street from us as the new library building is getting built. Michael Crum is the new managing editor for the Ames Tribune and has agreed to stop by and update us on the newspaper. Thank you for coming in this morning, Michael.
Happy to be here. Good morning.
So, Michael, welcome. And could you tell us just first of all who you are?
Sure. You know my name. And I'm the new managing editor at the Ames Tribune. I've actually been in Ames a couple of years. I started working at the Tribune back in 2012 as a reporter. And over the past couple of years, there have been some changes that have allowed me to gradually climb up a little bit. I became city editor in 2013, actually late 2012, which allowed me to have a little more oversight of the newsroom. And then this past, in December, there are some changes that allowed me to move up into the managing editor's position.
And you're a journalist by training?
For the most part, yeah. I actually learned through kind of the school of hard knocks.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I started out actually in radio back in, probably the mid-80s. And after about 10 to 12 years of kind of hopping around to different radio stations, I was offered a job at a newspaper down in Burlington, Iowa. And that's kind of where I learned and transitioned from broadcast to print. And I was there about 6 years. And then the opportunity came up to go work for the Associated Press in Des Moines. And I jumped at that opportunity and was excited about it. And I worked there for about 11 years before coming to the Trib.
And what brought you to Ames?
The job.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very much. I've lived in the area for a number of years. When I came to the Associated Press, we didn't want to live in Des Moines. So we were looking for some place kind of in between, close enough, but out that we could have a smaller school district. And my kids go to the Ballard School District, and I live down there.
Well, that's really wonderful. I must say, I feel so much kinship for you, having come through radio and had tried different things and wound up here and with your kids in Ballard, because since that's in our listening area, I've spent some time down there, and we'd want to have more programs with the people down in that South Story County area. It's a wonderful area.
It's a group of wonderful communities that have come together to form that school district, and I think as everybody knows, it's a really high quality district that really puts a lot into offerings for its students. So, yeah.
So, Michael, for those of us who don't know the business of journalism and newspaper journalism, tell us a little bit, what does a managing editor do?
A little bit of everything right now. I oversee the entire news operation. I oversee the copy desk. I oversee the reporters. I oversee the sports department. I work with them on budgeting for stories. I work with them on story development. I assign stories. I edit stories. I lay out some pages. I have some more tedious tasks like payroll and making sure expenses get paid and things like that. But
so are you the bottom line in terms of what goes into the paper?
It's a scary thought to put it that way, yeah, but probably. Probably.
It hadn't occurred to you till right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that or not. But pretty much, nothing's going to go in the paper without my approval.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about what we can expect from you in that area? What do things look like for the Tribune?
I'm going to back up here a little bit. When I took over the city editor's position, I made some goals for the newspaper because I was in a position to do that. And one of it was just to increase the amount of local news that people saw every day when they picked up the Trib. And to me, that meant as much as possible have an all-local front page. I don't think people turn to the Tribune necessarily to find out what's happening in Syria or what's happening in Washington, D.C. People want to look at the Tribune to see what's happening in Ames and its surrounding communities. For the most part, I think we've been able to accomplish that goal. There are very few days that we don't have an all-local front page. And then also to increase the amount of news that we have in the paper that's local. So you'll also see more stories that aren't just on the front page that jump to a page, but maybe that also just are placed on an inside page. The big question that people in, I think all media asks themselves, is what do our readers want? What do our listeners want? What do our viewers want? Unfortunately, I don't think there's any survey or questionnaire that is going to answer that question. It's a question that we continue to ask ourselves. And from someone who's been doing news a long, long time, we still, and I personally believe that we have an obligation to our readers to provide the basics. What did city council do last night? What did the school board do? How does that affect the people who live in the community, who live on the street where that street project is taking place? How is that going to affect, you know, kids who may have to transfer from one school to a new school as the school's construction project continues to unfold? What's the weather going to be tomorrow in Ames? You know, should people worry about, do they have to plan an extra few minutes? Is their school going to be canceled? What is the county board of supervisors doing? A lot of the basics, which we believe we just are responsible for and have an obligation to provide to not only let people know what's going on in their communities, but also to hold government officials accountable for how they spend our money. Schools take, I think, like 75 or 80% of our local taxpayer dollars. So it's a really important, you know, issue. So we try to stay on top of it the best we can. Before we went on the air, we talked about some community news initiatives, and this kind of gets back to the whole, what do our readers want? Over the past 10 to 20 years, newspapers, for any number of reasons, have been taking more and more away from their readers. A lot of it's because of budget issues and advertising and decreased revenues and things like that. That comes with some backlash, and I think we saw that recently in our TV listings. We took away the TV listings for a day, and people were beating down our door. So we listened to them. A lot of people that we heard from said that they really didn't need all the listings, but they just wanted the over-the-air channels. So we said, okay, we can do that at no cost to us. That's not going to be a hardship for us to do that. So we did that, and people have said, thank you. Even before we did that, we've been having a conversation about what can we give back to our readers that maybe we've taken away. Some things will never come back. We'll never be able to put, like, birth announcements back in the paper because of privacy laws. Hospital admissions and dismissals. Those things are never coming back. There are other things we can do. And part of that...
Anything new?
Well, you know, I think there might be some things in the next few weeks that people will see. We launched a new initiative this week to have community news pages where we provide what I like to describe kind of news at the neighborhood level. Things that people may have only seen like in a community calendar, but we might expand those events and write briefs about them or go out and get, you know, photos of an eighth grade basketball team that won some sort of tournament. Things that maybe weren't making in the Trib before that we're going to try to put in there now. Mm-hmm. We talk about things like, you know, bake sales and chicken dinners and pancake feeds and those sorts of things which may have been delegated to a community calendar or maybe didn't make it in the paper at all. We're going to try to find a place for them on these community pages. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago, maybe not quite, we had a redesign of the Tribune. And we created topic pages We're going to keep some of those topic pages, which appear on page 3. And we're going to keep some of those topic pages, like the school topic page and the local government topic page and the business topic page. We're going to take two others, scrap them, and turn them into these community pages, which will appear on Tuesdays and Fridays. So we're hoping that that will, you know, show our readers that we haven't forgotten about them, that, you know, despite some of the challenges that the industry is facing, we're still going to try to meet their needs on some of these, on this particular level.
Mm-hmm. But you're still here.
Oh, yeah.
Susan, you had noticed that the Tribune was covering stories in the outlining towns outside
yes.
in the area.
Yes, it goes back to my interest in Ballard. I'm now interested in our entire listening area, and I noticed, oh, there's a story that we should be covering, or that we'd like to expand on, and that's another conversation.
And I think the thing that people need to understand is the Tribune's parent company also owns the Nevada Journal, Tri-County Times, the Story City Herald, the Boone News Republican, and then some other papers down by Perry and Adele. We have been trying to foster, and with some success, to have a more sharing agreement with some of those other papers that they not only can use our stories, but that we can use theirs. And I think that helps, particularly the Tribune, maybe more than some of the others. Provide some of that coverage from some of the neighboring communities like Nevada or Gilbert or Huxley.
I was wondering if you were competing with your own satellite papers. No,
I don't think it's I don't think it's viewed as a competition, because I think people who already subscribe to those papers, they're getting news that the Tribune wouldn't give them anyway. What we're using from them and what they're using from us are probably, for them, they're probably using some of the bigger, higher profile stories that we're able to do that maybe they don't have the staff or the resources to do. And from them, we're able to provide some of that more featurey, personal profile, maybe community news, that we're striving to give our readers. So I think that's kind of where the exchange comes.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we're speaking with Michael Crum, who's the new managing editor for the Tribune, the Ames Tribune. Michael, since the beginning of the year, is that correct?
Right before Christmas, yeah.
You feeling good about being the new managing editor?
Oh, yeah, very optimistic.
So just can you give us a little insight into why you do this?
Because I don't know how to do anything else. It's kind of like a lot of people in the media. You know what? Early on in high school, I just had an interest in the media. I was in speech classes in high school. I was in the journalism class. I was on the yearbook staff. And then I decided to pursue radio. And my first job was as a night announcer at a small AM radio station. And after about 10 months of that, the news director of the radio station left, and the general manager approached me and said, I really sense you're getting kind of bored. And instead of taking the chance of losing you, would you like to try that job? If it doesn't work, we'll put you back on the night shift. If it doesn't work, great. And that's kind of how I started to do news.
Wow, that's great. Those were the days when the local news departments for radio.
Yeah.
Wow, well, thank you. Michael, thank you so much for coming in. And
thank
we
you
hope
for having
to-
me.
We hope to have more collaborations with the Tribune.
Absolutely.
And come back and talk with us again.
We will.
Sometime soon.
All right. Very
Thank
good.
You.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Yep.
If I go walking past the town signs, further on down the highway, will there be something waiting for me? Am I fooling myself again? You know I left this all behind, long before you came across my mind. Nothing kept me from leaving that day, but that day was nothing like today. I fell on my knees then, I prayed that change would spare me, that I could stay, oh that I could stay same old way.
flying right before me. It's not like before when I was blind. I remember seeing only the colors of the beautiful western skies. But now things are much deeper. It makes the darks much darker. But the lights shine brighter on your beautiful face. I fell on my knees then. I prayed the change could spare me. That I could stay. Oh, that I could stay the same old way. The colors turn and turn back again. There's always something to believe in. But that's not what you're searching for. No, it's something more hidden. Spend your life waiting round, or you can finally up and leave this town. But there's something just follows you, no matter which road you go down.
Listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host Susan Franson, and we just heard from Michael Crum, the incoming managing editor of the Ames Tribune. We look forward to seeing more of Michael and working with him as a neighboring media organization.
One event that was covered at the Trib, covered most of the front page of last Sunday's paper, was the upcoming public vote on March 4th, 2014, for the proposed expansion and renovation of the Ames Convention Center.
This is one of the biggest decisions the city government has put to a vote for quite a while.
Julie Weeks, director of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, is here to give us some information about forums on this issue that are scheduled for tomorrow. Thank you for coming in, Julie.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Julie, why don't you start by telling us when these forums are going to be held and where and what the topic will be?
Absolutely. The Board of Directors of the Convention and Visitors Bureau has actually been working on an initiative to identify facilities that are needed for the hospitality industry for over the last 5 years. And so while they know a lot of the information and they're probably very familiar with it, we assume that everybody knows about it, which is not a good assumption. So tomorrow at the Scheman Building, because that's where the renovation and the expansion would be, we're hosting three public forums, one at 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 7 o'clock at night. So we're hoping to catch you either before you go to work or in the middle of the day, or if you have the opportunity not to go to a basketball game tomorrow night, there's actually an open evening, to show up tomorrow night and learn more about the convention center, which is really twofold. It is a project that includes the renovation of the Scheman Building so that we can attach virtually another Scheman Building to the Scheman Building. And what it will give us is 35,000 square feet, which is almost two floors of Hilton Coliseum, with open space. And this gives us space for exhibits. It gives us space to do what we call consumer shows. So a lot of communities will have a home and garden show. They'll have a kids fest. They'll have an art festival or a crafts show or a quilting type show. And this will give us that large open expansion space to be able to do that.
So for exhibits, really?
Really for exhibits, also for larger banquets. Currently, the Scheman Building really maxes out just a little over 300 people in one space. If you go to the lobbies, you can get 400 people. But a lot of our conferences have 500, 600, 800 people, and we have no place to feed them in one area. So if you meet at Scheman and you're meeting in Benton Auditorium and you have 450-some seats, your people are divided into two or three rooms for lunch or for dinner, which is not always the best arrangement for a conference.
I'm going to ask a stupid question here. The Convention and Visitors Bureau, what is it, and is it part of the city, part of the university, private? What is it?
The Convention and Visitors Bureau in Ames is a nonprofit corporation. It is funded primarily by hotel-motel tax. In Ames, the hotel-motel tax is the state limit at 7%. Of those 7 cents on every dollar, 5 of them come to the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. 2 remain with the City of Ames. 1 replaces local option tax for community betterment, for human services, and the other 1 cent is earmarked for the city for economic development. And so those stay, you know, in the city's budget. Also within the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau budget, there is a line item for a community grant fund. And in our agreement with the city, we take 5% of all of the revenues that come from hotel motel tax to the Bureau, and we set those aside every year so they're used for community grants in the upcoming year. And this year we just announced we gave a little over $70,000+ in community grants.
Including KHOI.
I do believe that's correct. I don't get to pick where those go. We have a separate committee, which is really great because then they do stay in the community and really help a variety of efforts.
The Convention and Visitors Bureau itself is a private nonprofit corporation?
Correct. And we have a board of directors, and again, with our agreement with the city for the tax dollars that we receive, it's a board of 13 individuals that are made up of membership of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, and we're required to have 2 city council members, 4 hotel representatives, an Iowa State University representative, who else, and then at-large membership.
And what is the mission of the organization?
The mission is really to augment, supplement the overnight visitors to the community in low occupancy times and to help attract and support overnight citywide events. So that's why we get involved with such things as Iowa Games, Special Olympics Iowa, Odyssey of the Mind, the larger events that really can benefit the entire community.
Now, the Scheman Building is property of Iowa State University?
It is. The Scheman Building is part of the 4-building complex, which includes Hilton Coliseum, Stevens Auditorium, Fisher Theater, and the Scheman Building. And all 4 buildings were built 40 years ago in the 70s. And for a long time, they were the only facilities in Iowa that were really a gathering place. Des Moines didn't even have a convention center until the 1980s. So in the 70s and early 80s, if you were meeting in Iowa for, if you were going to a concert, if you were going to a performing arts event, whether it was the New York Philharmonic, those types of events, or if you were gathering for an educational conference, you were really coming to Ames, Iowa.
To the Iowa State Center.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So this addition would be an addition to property owned by the university, promote or somehow guided by your nonprofit organization with city money. Is that correct?
Actually, our organization is only involved in the promotion, in identifying the need and the promotion of this opportunity. The actual project is slightly over $38 million. Of which Iowa State University has agreed to partner with the City of Ames if the City of Ames can come up with their $19 million. So it would be very much like the Furman Aquatic Center. It would be like SciRide, and more important, probably the easiest comparison would be the Ames ISU Ice Arena, where it is a facility built on university land owned by both. So it would be a partnership in the ownership of it by Ames, by the City of Ames and Iowa State University.
I have a question. I noticed there were 6 rooms for nonprofits in the building. What kind of space is that, and what uses do you foresee for those spaces?
One of the benefits that Ames residents will have, and actually that the City of Ames will have, is that's a lot different than other communities, that the usage of Scheman is about one-third, roughly a third of it is used by Iowa State University for a lot of their educational programs, their career fairs, that type of thing. A third of it is used by city groups. The Convention and Visitors Bureau just had their annual meeting there, the chamber's meeting there, there's wedding receptions, proms are there. The last third is used by, and the university has allowed, outside groups to come in. So that's where we would host things like the Iowa High School Music Association, Iowa High School Speech, and Iowa Vet Med Association, where they have their conferences. With those dollars that those outside clients bring, and when they stay overnight, they generate hotel motel tax, the Convention and Visitors Bureau will be taking that hotel motel tax and subsidizing the rental policies of the Scheman Building. So that will give us the opportunity to have lower rates for some community groups or a no rate for some nonprofit groups. And it's been designed so that the ground floor of Scheman is accessible without having to have access to the entire building. And on that lower floor, there are six conference rooms that range in the 6 to 10 person to the largest one, which is right around 100 people. And then with our subsidy, those rooms could be available for nonprofit groups and AIMS. So they would all be the ones on the ground floor.
There's a nice symmetry here. We were just speaking with Lynn Carey from the Ames Public Library, and she was telling us that a major feature of the new library downtown here will be space for public meetings and for public usage of the space. In a sense, you're saying you're interested in building a similar thing in Campus Town.
Actually, we would reflect their same policy mm-hmm. on who would get that complimentary rate and the booking of it. It would be short-term bookings. You couldn't hold it for like 2 years out. But we would use that for university groups and also local AIMS groups, very similar to the library.
We're speaking with Julie
Weeks.
Yep. You're the director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yes.
Julie is speaking to us about the proposed expansion of the Scheman Building for public space. Is there other expansion that you're speaking about, or is it primarily there?
That is the whole project this time around, is just really looking at this additional exhibit space, which a lot of our existing clients need, and it's just something that Ames doesn't have any place within Ames itself. Mm-hmm. So it's a great partnership between Iowa State and Ames.
One interesting architectural feature of this is I noticed it's built over the parking. Is that correct?
It is. It's actually elevated one level, and that's done for a couple of reasons. But the primary reason is if you have been in the Scheman Building, the main lobby area, the entrance to Benton, all of that is actually up one level. And exhibitors want to be where, you know, the participants are. So when we looked at building it on the ground level, which would have actually been less expensive, it really didn't make sense from a client standpoint. They didn't want to have to go back downstairs to find their exhibitors. Also, it does elevate it up out of the floodplain, which is also an advantage. So it's obviously worth, I think, the dollars to both meet both of those needs.
And you don't lose the parking.
And you don't. Well, you will lose a couple spaces because there are some large pillars. But you're right. There will be covered, protected parking. And that would be a lot of the accessible parking for the building.
Julie, could you tell us again when the meetings are that will be occurring?
The meetings are Thursday, tomorrow, at the Scheman Building, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 7 p.m.
And what will people expect at these meetings?
The board of directors, members of the board of directors will be there. They will give a little history on how we got to identifying this need. And we'll have some client testimonials, and then we'll also take a look at exactly what the space, how it would fit, what it would look like, and how it would feel, you know, how it's set back from Lincoln Way. You could get a real vision of what it would look like there. We'll also talk about the economic impact, what will happen in Ames if we can build this and keep a lot of the groups that we have, also the types of groups we might be able to contract, and just take a look at it.
What is What's Up Downtown?
Well, What's Up Downtown is a monthly meeting open to the members of our district to the public. That's the Main Street Cultural District. Each month we'll feature a different topic relevant to downtown Ames, as well as a light breakfast and time to socialize with other community members and business people who have an interest in downtown Ames. Those who miss the meetings tomorrow at Scheman will have another chance to hear from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau on the topic of the Convention Center project, and specifically how this project will impact downtown Ames. The proposed Ames Convention Center expansion and renovation will be up for a public vote on March 4th, 2014. This informational meeting will have time for a question and answer session on January 22nd at 9 a.m. in the meeting room on the third floor of Youth and Shelter Services Building on 5th Street in downtown Ames. For more information about the Convention Center project, visit AmesGatheringPlace.com. That's, I believe, what you're involved with, right?
That is it. That is the website to get more information, and there is another presentation that day. Now I do know what you're talking about.
Right, and I'll bet you'll be there.
I will.
You just have to look at next week's calendar, but I guess for what you're doing right now, day to day, is pretty overwhelming.
Actually, I just got all that information yesterday, so when you started reading about it, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, well, this is really news.
Julie, just briefly, can you give a little bit of a snapshot of what the situation is in Ames with visitors and Ames as a tourist destination, so to speak?
Actually, Ames is a great visitor destination, and for the last 2 years, we have seen significant growth, which is a little confusing because we talk about needing new facilities, but we have continual growth. A lot of the growth has been on special events. You know, it's great. When Iowa State University grows, there's obviously a lot more parents that bring their students back, so we have that. As new businesses come to town, they also generate hotel rooms, so the hospitality industry is very good from that aspect. What the Convention Center does is really help us build that Sunday, Monday through Thursday business, because conventions are usually during the week. So while we often fill on weekends and have very busy sporting events and activities on weekends, we'd like to balance that so that we have a strong hospitality industry every day of the week.
So I'm hearing that sports, university, business are attractions in Ames?
Oh, absolutely.
Any other significant attraction that you see happening?
From a destination marketing, you always have that one lure, that one thing that everybody comes to Ames for. And in all reality, for us, 80% of the time, that's Iowa State University. But we have great amenities. So that we really hope that a lot of our visitors, and Allison Walter with our bureau is working on this, when we bring hundreds of thousands of people to Ames for sporting events, we bring them here for Iowa State University, we bring them here for business, that we can get them to stay one more night to enjoy one more night of dining in Ames, going to a show, whether it be a local performance or something at Stevens, that they tour Ryman Gardens. So we have been building our amenities. Even new retail helps us with those amenities, because if I'm bringing my daughter for a soccer tournament, I might buy something that weekend. So amenities are extremely important to our visitors.
Mm-hmm. And you enjoy doing your work at the center?
I do.
What do you like about it?
No 2 days are ever alike. It's always exciting. I get new experiences like this, and it's just always changing.
Okay, well, thank you. I guess it's time to start wrapping up, so would you stay with us while we close the show?
I'd be glad to.
Okay, great. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and I've been your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host, Susan Franson.
Today we've been talking with Michael Crum about changes in the Tribune, as well as Julie Weeks about the proposed Ames Convention and Center Project proposal, which will be on the ballot on March 4th.
Also, Lynn Carey, director of the Ames Public Library, gave us an update on the exciting progress of our new library building. And don't forget that tonight is the Wolf Full Moon, and that it's the start of the mating call for the chickadees, and we're all rooting for them. Hope they have a good time.
Local Talk is engineered by Richard Morrison and Becca Brown. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you have heard today was Home and Same Old Way by Chad Elliott from his CD, Redemption Man. You can also listen to this show and all our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And see listings of our past guests and resource contact information.
And Julie, one more time, what is the Convention and Visitors Bureau's website?
Visitames.com.
Thank you.
You will also find lists of our guests and contact information on the organizations we speak with and other resources mentioned on our shows.
If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and consider becoming one of the 500 families donating $20 per month or $250 per year to help us meet our operating expenses. We do appreciate your feedback either by phone or contact us by our email, khoiradio@gmail.com. That's khoiradio@gmail.com, and our phone number is 292-2878. Or come by the Ames Pantorium on Douglas Avenue in Ames. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, and if you would like to join the team as a reporter, we will train you and come by and join the team. Contact us again at 292-2878 or khoiradio@gmail.com.
It's your participation as audience that makes KHOI possible and worthwhile. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.